Hello, everyone. I'm Harvey Brownstone, and today's guest is the lead singer of one of the most popular and successful rock and roll bands in pop music history, Gary Lewis and the Playboys. Their many hit songs, including This Diamond Ring, Count Me In,
if you need someone to count on, count me in. Someone you can rely on through thick and thin. When you start to count the ones that you might ever doubt, if you think of counting me, count me out.
Save Your Heart for Me. Everybody loves a clown.
Everybody loves a clown. So why don't you? Everybody laughs at the things that I say and do. They all laugh when they see me coming. But you don't laugh, you just go on running. Everybody loves a clown. So why can't you?
She's Just My Style. Sure gonna miss her.
Never did too much to make her stay here. Words of love to her I never say. I guess I learned a lesson when she walked out to stay. But I'm sure gonna miss her. Sure gonna miss her. I'm sure gonna miss her every day.
And Green Grass.
Green grass round my window. Young leaves that the wind blows. Yes, it's springtime, golden sunshine. And we're glad, my little love and I, now that summertime is nigh,
are part of the soundtrack of our lives. With 8 gold singles, 17 top 40 hits, 4 gold albums, and 45 million records sold worldwide, our guest is the first and only artist during the 1960s to have his first 7 releases reach Billboard magazine's top 10 on the Hot 100 chart. In 1965, he was named Cashbox magazine's Male Vocalist of the Year, winning out over Elvis Presley and Frank Sinatra. He and his band made numerous appearances on popular TV shows, including American Bandstand, Hullabaloo, Shindig, and The Tonight Show. And he's one of only a handful of artists who appeared 5 times within 2 years on The Ed Sullivan Show. With the re-emerging interest in oldies music, Gary Lewis and the Playboys continue to tour and entertain their millions of fans around the world. I'm delighted to welcome Gary Lewis to our show. Gary, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Now, Gary, of course, I have to begin by recognizing and paying tribute to your late father, the brilliant comic genius, Jerry Lewis. And you inherited your musical talent from your mom, who was the well-known singer, Patti Palmer. I've interviewed a lot of children of celebrities, and they've all told me that being the child of a big star is nowhere near as glamorous as it sounds. Do you agree?
Oh, I completely agree. You know, you grow up in your whole life wondering if you're ever going to have your own identity. You know, that's for starters. You know, when somebody is that famous, you think to yourself, or I thought to myself, well, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do? And I said, well, I know a lot about this end of show business. Maybe I'll try that. But then I vetoed that idea because, you know, comedy and movies, it just wasn't in me. I didn't care about it at all. My entire growing up process was sitting at the piano with my mom singing. And that's what I wanted to do. So thank God the Beatles came along.
Well, I want to tell you that the first time I saw you on TV was when I was a kid. They were playing reruns of a TV show called Person to Person with Edward R. Murrow.
Oh, yeah.
They did an episode in your house featuring your whole family. You were just a kid. When your dad introduced you, he said, "This is my eldest son, Gary, and he wants to be in show business." Do you remember that?
I remember the show very well. I don't remember exactly what was said, though.
Well, it was very interesting that even as a young kid, you had some kind of spark that your father knew right away you were going to be in show business.
Well, I did. He told me that I always had great timing, you know, which I'm very glad I used it in music.
Well, in 1958, you appeared and sang a duet with your father in a movie called Rockabye Baby. And a lot of people may not know that you actually appeared in your father's movie, The Nutty Professor, correct?
Yes, I did. I was in a bar scene and I was only 17 years old. So standards and practices of California said, no, you can't do that. So I got cut out of the movie.
Well, at what age did you decide that you wanted a career in show business?
You know, up until I was 18 years old, I was still going to a theater arts college. I thought maybe this is what I knew most about, but I didn't like it. I just didn't care for that end of show business. And right when I was 19, that's when the Beatles came out. And that definitely made up my mind for me what I wanted to do.
I read somewhere that your father wasn't very supportive of your show business aspirations, but your mother was. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. My mom was completely and totally supportive, you know. I went to her one time. I said, "Hey, Mom, I got this little band together, and we need a place to rehearse. We need some equipment and this and that." And my mom says, "Okay, I'll get all that stuff for you, but don't tell your dad anything about this, because if the project fails, I've got to come up with an excuse as to where this money went." So we didn't tell my dad until Diamond Ring was going up the charts.
And then did your dad ever give you any career advice?
Yeah, he told me one time, he said, "Work cheap."
What does that mean?
You know, everybody asks, what advice do you have for show business? And my dad would just always tell him, "Work cheap and you'll always work."
Well, you got your first set of drums when you were 15 and you formed your band when you were 18. And your first real job was playing at Disneyland. And I think it's important to note, Gary, that nobody at Disneyland knew you were Jerry Lewis's son. You got the job on your own merit, correct?
That's exactly right. I didn't want anybody using my last name. So at that time, we were just Gary and the Playboys. I didn't want any favoritism. I wanted to see if we had it, if we could get by on our own. We did get hired. We auditioned with 10 other bands and we got the job for June, July, and August '64.
Now, you were discovered by producer Snuff Garrett. When you first started the band, you were the drummer, and then you became the lead singer of the band. Was it Snuff Garrett's idea to make you the lead singer?
No, it was my idea, actually, because when we started playing big venues and everything, it was progressively getting harder to sing and play drums hard enough to cover these big arenas. And besides, I had too much energy to sit behind drums for an hour. You know, I hired a drummer and I came out and played guitar. And oh boy, a new world opened up. I see people's faces and I'm playing to people and I'm reacting to them. And that was just much better.
So you were more comfortable leading the band as the lead singer than you were as a drummer?
Not in the beginning, but it became that way when we started touring all the time. I mean, you know, plus I had all the cymbals in front of me. You know, people couldn't see me. I couldn't see them. You know, it was just so much better for me out front.
Your first hit song, This Diamond Ring, hit number one on February 20th, 1965. Gary, take us back. Tell us what went through your mind when you first heard that your song went to number one.
Well, we heard it on the radio for the first time, and that was like, I almost passed out because I was just so thrilled and crazy and nuts. And then it keeps going up and up and up and up on the charts, finally hits number one. And we were just all nuts, going crazy. Oh, man, this is the greatest in the world. So Snuffy Garrett says, you guys better calm down right now. He says, do you realize how many one-hit artists there are in the world? He said, we got to concentrate on getting number two and number three, and then we might be on our way. So he brought us right back down to earth and had us concentrate on getting Count Me In and Save Your Heart for Me. And then after that third one, Snuffy says, yeah, I think we're going now.
Well, there was a time when Gary Lewis and the Playboys were appearing on every TV variety show, and it felt like you were very much an overnight success. How did you handle being famous in your own right and not just being the son of Jerry Lewis?
Well, I mean, I really, really liked it. But what is also true in show business is that when you have fast success, it goes to your head. And it went to my head. And I was a cocky little young guy. You know, I really was. I had these hit records, you know, girls screaming at us and just, you know, I mean, it was fast success. And prior to that, I didn't have any failures because I grew up in my dad's household. So that was, you know, growing up with complete success. It was his success. But when I got my own success, I had no failures yet, you know, in life. So, you know, everybody told me, you know, it doesn't stay this way all the time. You know, you got to be smart about this. Don't just go out there and have fun. Consider it a business. It is your business to stay where you are. So, you know, and when the 70s came along, that was the end of the 60s right there. You know, and then I had all my bad times.
So if you could go back and talk to the Gary Lewis in 1965, 66, what would you say to him?
I would have told him just be very smart. If things start not going your way, you know, reinvent yourself, do something else, you know, just figure things out. Be smart about everything. And as long as you look at your career as a business, well, you know, you've got something, you know, so find out a way to get it to people. That's what I would have said rather than, well, when I got out of the Army, Snuffy Garrett says to me, you know, the 70s is here now. Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, The Doors and everything. And he said, I'm sorry, there's just no more market for you now. I said, oh, well, thanks, Snuff. You know, nice to hear. Can't you figure something out for me? you know, and so the 70s wasn't very kind to 60s artists at all.
So, no, and you know, when you think about it, one of the things that I think is very significant about Gary Lewis and the Playboys is that you were one of the only American bands that were a huge success in America during an era that was almost completely dominated by the British rock bands.
Right.
How do you account for the enormous success of your band in the 60s?
Well, I think it was a combination of Snuffy Garrett as producer, Leon Russell as our arranger and songwriter, myself as artist, and Snuffy always knew how to pick hit records. He never had a failure, never. You know, even before me, he had Gene McDaniels, Bobby V, Johnny Burnett, all those people before, and even after me, you know, he produced Cher and even Frank Sinatra a couple of times. So Snuffy Garrett knew what he was doing. He knew how to pick hit songs, and he knew exactly when to put them out. Like, he would never put out a new song of mine if the Beatles just came out with a new song. He'd wait 3 weeks for the Beatles song to chart way up at the top. Then he'd put my song out. He was smart. He's smart. He knew.
Now, as I mentioned in my introduction, you appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show 5 times. He had such a distinctive and dry personality on TV. What was he like off stage?
Exactly that way.
Really?
He was. I mean, Ed Sullivan was the way he was, and there was no change in that. So if you got on his show, you had to accept that he is just going to be the way he is, and that's that. And focus on being on the biggest TV show at the time. You know, do your job. And that's what we did.
You sure did. I loved those appearances. I know that you were a co-writer of the song Everybody Loves a Clown. Is it true that you wrote the song as a tribute to your dad?
Well, it started out that way. You know, it started out that it was just going to be a little novelty tune I was going to write and give it to him for his birthday in 1965. But as the song started to progress, I'm thinking to myself, wow, you know, this sounds pretty good. Maybe I'll keep it. So me and Leon Russell finished the song, and it went to the top 10 also. I think I gave my dad a bowling ball or something. I don't know.
Did your dad ever tell you, son, I'm really proud of your success?
Well, to be completely honest, I don't really remember that.
Really?
I mean, you know, it's hard to explain, but the way my dad was, a lot of times my success threatened him. It really did, you know? He didn't want this competition. You know,
even though you were in a completely different field of show business.
That's right. Exactly right. You know, you can't really figure out comedians. I can't. I tried a long time. But, you know, I just had to look at him as my dad. You know, that's all. Be the way you want to be. You know, that's fine.
No, I get it. Now, Gary, in January 1967, during the Vietnam War, you were drafted into the Army and you served in South Korea. I think every female in America was heartbroken when you got drafted. Can you tell us anything about your time in the military?
Well, I really enjoyed the military. First of all, when I got my draft notice, the first thing that came into my mind was, well, Elvis did it, I'll do it. That's all there was to it, you know, and everybody's saying, no, with your connections, you can get out of it. You can definitely get out of it, you know, but what would that have done, you know, for me later on? The fact that I did go, you know, and I'm a vet and I love the vets, you know, the military was easy. I was serving my country and I was proud of my country.
Well, you want to know what I felt as a fan? When you came out of the military, I had the feeling that the military made you grow up.
Oh, boy. I mean, that's exactly what I say. You know, I needed to go into the Army because I needed to grow up like that. I needed to see life every day when you're worried about, will you survive till tomorrow? You know, and that changes you, you know.
Big time.
But in the long run, it was great. I'm glad I went. We still do free shows for the veterans and their families all over the country. I am really a vet supporter all the way.
After you were discharged from the military, you returned to the band, and one of the songs you recorded was a new version of Sealed with a Kiss, which is one of my favorites. Was it difficult reestablishing yourself in the music industry after having been away for almost 2 years?
When I was in the Army, we had two songs that were in the can already, Sealed with a Kiss and a song called Listen to the Rhythm of the Falling Rain, which was a remake also. So while I was in the service, those two were released in the States. So when I got out of the service, I was able to tour for a couple more years on the strength of those two songs. But then it just dried right up. It just dried up. And to this day, I don't know why Liberty Records and Snuffy Garrett just accepted defeat. You know, like, no more market for you anymore. You know, I mean, you're a producer at Liberty Records. Can't you figure something out? Let's try something, you know, but, you know, it just didn't happen.
Gary, you released 13 albums, including This Diamond Ring, A Session with Gary Lewis and the Playboys, New Directions, Close Cover Before Playing, and my favorite, your solo album from 1967 entitled Listen. Do you have a favorite of all your albums?
Yes. It was after the service, I did that album called New Directions and Listen. And that was so much fun because it was a total departure from any recording I'd ever done previous to that. This was using a 40-piece orchestra and all kinds of different new instruments and stuff. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. But unfortunately, those albums didn't go because I was having a lawsuit with Liberty Records on past royalties, so they didn't promote them. You know?
That's such a shame.
You know? But those two albums, I think, were my favorite because I was growing up. I was growing up, and I wanted to try new things. So I did enjoy it, but I loved all the 60s albums and music I did. I mean, Leon Russell was so good. He was just so good at arranging, and he played some instrument on everything. And he was like a co-producer with Snuffy Garrett too. He was brilliant.
He was, and the combination of the two of you was really unforgettable. Those albums are classics. Now, Gary, you appeared in a number of your father's Labor Day telethons for muscular dystrophy. Those were amazing events, and your father's dedication and stamina were so remarkable and really unforgettable for those of us who watch the telethons every year.
Yeah.
Can you share any memories of appearing on those telethons?
The memories I have were that I was going to be on the telethon with my dad. I mean, that was an honor to me to be on the same stage with him, you know. So that was number one. And then he was doing his telethon and I was on his show. And that was big for me, you know, and I loved it. And, you know, it was national. So whatever songs I was doing, everybody was hearing this. It was good. It was really good for a career to be on that, the telethon and the Ed Sullivan Show.
You see, I think that those appearances on your father's telethons to me signify that he was very, very proud of you.
I think he was, you know, in his own way. You know, I'm trying to use the right words here. You know, I'm sure he was, but he just didn't really show a lot of that. He just didn't really on the surface show a lot of that, you know.
But he would never have had you on those shows if he didn't know. First of all, you were very popular and you were good for the show. Secondly, that he knew you were talented. And I think it reflected really well on the both of you to be on the stage together. It was very special for those of us in the audience, I'll tell you.
Good, yeah. Well, I remember, you know, telethon time was coming up. I called him. I said, "Hey, Dad, can we do the telethon this year?" No hesitation. Sure. Come on. I'll set it up and send you all the flights you need and on this and that. It was always yes, instantly. In the 80s, when I was doing his telethons, you know, he gave us time slots like 3 a.m., you know, stuff like that. But as time went on, he started giving us the prime time, 8 p.m. and 9 p.m., you know, and so I liked that better.
Now, you've been touring with your band pretty consistently for a very long time, except during the pandemic. Do you still enjoy touring and doing concerts after all these years?
Absolutely. I certainly do. And I never get tired of singing the same songs. I mean, how can you get tired of that? They put me where I am, those songs. And I get every time I sing one of my 60s tunes on stage, memories come flooding back to me about something, you know, or some specific time that was wonderful. And so I still have a great time.
And it really shows. I want to make sure everyone watching knows that if you don't have the chance to see Gary Lewis and the Playboys in concert, there's a wonderful concert DVD from 2005 available on Amazon that includes an interview with Gary in which he reviews the entire history of the band. Gary, I really love that DVD, and I think it's a must-have for all of your fans. And when I was watching your interview, I got to wondering whether you'll ever sit down and write a memoir. I mean, you've had an amazing life.
Well, I have, you know, but I just don't want to be another artist telling his story of success and the fall into alcohol and the recovery. And, you know, everybody writes a book about that, you know. So
Here's the thing. Not everybody is the son of a legendary star. That's number one. And your father had a very distinctive personality. There was a lot of anger in him, despite the comedy. We all saw that. So that's number one. Number two, you had a phenomenal success. Number three, you did reinvent yourself. You did go through some hard times, but the fact that you did come out at the other end and become the Gary Lewis that we all loved before and still love now and still performing, there's a book there.
Well, you know, I used to think that also, but there's no way to tell my story without including my dad in it. And I'm not going to say anything bad about my dad, you know. I mean, we had our ups and downs my whole life, you know. And I don't want to be barraged with questions about him. And I don't want to have to, I don't want to talk about unpleasant things. That's just what it is, you know. I came out of it fine, great. I don't want to just write a book to make money. I don't want to write a book just to say, "Hey, look at how great I am now." And I don't care about it, you know.
If you don't feel inspired to do it, then you shouldn't.
Yeah, I'm not inspired.
I want to tell our viewers that you can find out everything that's going on with Gary Lewis and the Playboys, including their tour schedule, by going to their website, GaryLewisAndThePlayboys.com.
Right.
Well, Gary, it's been a real honor to interview you. You've brought a lot of joy to the world, and I hope you know how much your music has meant to all your fans. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on our show.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Our guest has been rock and roll superstar Gary Lewis. My name is Harvey Brownstone. Thank you to our producer, Steve Silver. Thank you all for joining us. See you next time.
Thanks for watching. Be sure to check out all the great interviews on the Harvey Brownstone Interviews YouTube channel. Don't forget to subscribe and ring the bell to be notified when new videos are posted.